Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Okay, so this is a first, what you're going to see here today. We're going to arrange these athletes into doubles boat. And that boat is going to go at a pace that reflects the combined performance of these two.
On a cold February morning in the community rowing boathouse in Brighton, Massachusetts, Peter Lufan, who has traveled here from New Zealand, explains the intricacies of a competition that would likely strike most observers as not only novel, but bizarre. First, the boats to which Peter Lufan refers aren't boats. They are high-tech indoor rowing machines called ergometers, and they're connected via the computer software Lufan has developed to a projector that will indicate on a cyber river on a big screen in the front of the room which of the six rowing teams is ahead in the race that will see them all going exactly nowhere.
It'll be very interesting to see how this unfolds. This is a world first. It's never been done before.
Well, I will watch these little cyber rowers and see if I can tell what's going on.
That's it.
Six teams of two rowers each gallantly pull at their oars. Some of them are men and some are women. Some of them are young and some of them are mature. And some of them are blind and some of them have climbed into the rowing machines from wheelchairs, and one of them was born with spina bifida.
You won! Surprised?
No. Not at all.
The unsurprised member of the winning team is 19-year-old Oksana Masters, who traveled to Brighton from her home in Louisville, Kentucky, for this competition. She's wearing workout pants and a blue jersey, and as she climbs out of the rowing machine, it's not immediately evident what qualifies her for participation in this first indoor adaptive rowing challenge, an event designed to demonstrate how disabled athletes can benefit from the sport. So I asked.
Well, I'm a bilateral knee dysarthric, so I'm missing both of my legs through the knee. I had my left one done in 97. And then my right one about five summers ago now. So.
And why was that?
Well, I was originally from Ukraine, and there was a lot of nuclear power plants. And they think that I was in a nuclear power plant when I was in my mom's birth stomach. I was born with legs, but they were just so deformed and... like, other parts of my body were, like, something deformed inside, so they think it was radiation, poison, and all that kind of stuff.
I mentioned that the prosthetic legs don't seem to have hindered her efforts on the ergometer.
I know, I love it. Life is good. Can't ask for anything better.
In fact, the only complaint Oksana Masters has in this cozy boathouse beside the partly frozen Charles River concerns the screen upon which her performance is represented by that cartoon boat moving smoothly along a lovely blue river between green and shaded banks.
No, it's so distracting to have that there, and I keep wanting to go there, and my coach is like, stop looking, and it's almost like,
What are you supposed to be looking
exactly,
at?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, but he goes, just focus and breathe, and I'm just like, okay.
Oksana Masters isn't the only rower who's frustrated by the computer graphics. Andrew Johnson has heard that they're not as accurate as they might be at representing the rowers.
My mom was telling me that there are actually... pictures of the people in the boats, and she was looking at my boat up on the screen and she's like, that guy is not working as hard as Andrew is. That boat guy needs to pick it up a little bit.
Andrew, who's a freshman at Connecticut College, has to take his mom's word for the misrepresentation of his effort.
I have disease known as Leber's congenital amaurosis, or LCA, and that means that some of the photoreceptor cells in my eyes didn't develop. It's a genetic thing. It means that my only vision is really light perception, so I can tell if the lights are on, but that's about it.
The community rowing program hosting the regatta started out in a Quonset hut. It's been in business since 1985, and the opportunities being offered to athletes like Andrew Johnson and Oksana Masters have been part of the plan for years, as Jamie Hintleyan, the chairperson for the adaptive program, explains.
This is going to be one of the pillars of our program. We didn't just decide that we were going to be doing adaptive rowing because we have a brand new boathouse. It's been part of the mission of community rowing right from the very start of it. Rowing for all means rowing for all with really no boundaries. As you can see today, we don't have throngs of participants, but we've got this amazing cross-section of athletes represented, and athletes, by the way, that have been absolutely at the top of their game. It's remarkable.
Perhaps in part because these athletes don't constitute a throng, the rowers who are here are competing several times.
Attention, rope. Way out front, among the women, Oksana has got a slight lead over Beth. Little ahead of Laura, this is neck and neck right here. Stroke for stroke, 40 strokes a minute here, both of them.
This particular race has mixed the categories of arms-only rowers, arms and trunk rowers, and rowers who have some use of their legs as well, so it's something of a free-for-all. As the results of that race are announced, Oksana Masters chalks up another first. Laura Schwanger is paying close attention. Schwanger, who won a bronze medal in the arms-only rowing competition at the Beijing Paralympics last summer, is 50 years old. She's not sure she wants to dedicate the next 4 years to rowing, and so she's looking for athletes who might compete in London in 2012.
That actually is my goal this year. I've been traveling around promoting adaptive rowing. I'm really looking for the young woman to take my place. I did a lot of work last year. That's all I did last year, was trained for the Paralympics. And I don't know if I want to totally dedicate myself to one thing again. To find the people to take our existing national team members' place, that is my goal, yes. And I'm hoping that one of these women today will be out there to represent us in London.
Laura Schwanger's devotion to adaptive rowing followed her stint as a wheelchair basketball player. Next, she plans to learn to sail, but she has nothing but good things to say about rowing, and her only regret regarding the sport is that she didn't find it earlier in her life.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis while I was on active duty in the Army, and then a few years later I was in a car accident, so I'm
double whammy.
Yeah, well, actually triple whammy. A couple years ago I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and that's what really started me to rowing after completing the treatments.
What eventually became a passion began as therapy.
I was extremely fatigued and weak. And friends in the Philadelphia area said, why don't you come out and start rowing with us? And we started on the rowing ergometers in December, and it took me 2 months before I could complete the workout that everybody else was doing. And, you know, I just got stronger and stronger and stronger. And then in May they said, hey, do you want to get in a boat? And it's like, sure, why not? But I really like the erg. And I was in the right place at the right time.
Even assuming that Laura Schwanger makes good on her current intention to retire from competitive rowing and move on to sailing, the U.S. will not necessarily be at a loss for rowers at the London Paralympics in 2012. Oksana Masters has her sights set on that competition, as does Beth Bryant, the woman with whom Masters finished first in that pairs race. But if cranking up the competition was part of the goal on that cold February morning at the Community Rowing Boathouse, the greater achievement was evident in Laura Schwanger's summary of what rowing has done for her.
I turned 50 in November, and I am in the best shape of my life, both mentally and physically, and I can really have to credit rowing for this. This is a sport that you can do your entire life. I can't say that about other sports that I've done. You know, this is a lifetime sport, and it's a lot of fun, and the people are just incredible. Life is good.
My story about the Adaptive Rowing Indoor Challenge will be featured on this week's program. I'll be joined by Tim Kirkchin for some discussion of spring training and the World Baseball Classic. We'll also have a story about the team from Venezuela, one of the 16 countries in that tournament. As the college hockey season gets set for tournament time, Only a Game's Doug Tribou will have a story about two active coaches who, between them, have presided over more than 1,600 wins. We won't neglect college basketball either. I'll discuss with Alan Zaremba his new book, The Madness of March. It's a look at the behavior of the fans who swarm Las Vegas at tournament time, selflessly boosting that city's economy. So join us, and remember, you can always hear the program at onlyagame.org.